Curtain Radio. Well, joining me now is Kim Grieve, who is the project officer from the Department of Health, to talk about an advanced care plan, which sounds terrific. Good afternoon to you, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Look, I'm fine, thank you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone was well? Solve a lot of problems and a lot of money. But I've not heard of this scheme before, if you can call it that, the advanced care plan.
Okay, what this is all about is basically having conversations with those people that are closest, first of all. So it's really the first part is having a conversation about our hopes, our fears, our dreams, our concerns, and putting a plan in place while we're relatively well or have capacity now, and planning for the future when we may not be so well, and actually giving us, I suppose in one way empowers us to have a conversation, put a plan ahead. So, and then ideally recording it more formally, for example, completing an advanced health directive where we can legally complete a form that health professionals have to follow, or we can also appoint someone to speak on our behalf, a substitute decision maker who can also make decisions for us.
You know, that's a discussion that most people feel they should have always had, especially if someone's passed away and they hadn't found out what their wishes were. But to put this into practice is very innovative. And what sort of age group are you sort of referring to, you know, if you're talking about the patient in the future?
Well, we really encourage everyone. So the legislation covers anyone from the age of 18 onwards. But the problem, I suppose, demographically, it tends to be a lot more people who tend to engage in this discussion and tend to be much more mature. Particularly the retirees tend to be much more onto it, and the older generation planning ahead. Maybe some of those people have already experienced some kind of health issues or come across people with health issues. They seem to be the ones that are much more onto the ball of undertaking the conversation and documentation, whereas I think probably the younger generation tend to be much more sort of, you know, things will be okay.
But we're
recognising now, very much trying to push the younger generation to also think ahead, because they too can suffer illness or have, you know, accidents and injury that enables, which can then affect their decision-making ability for care and treatment.
How is it actually going to work, Kim? How do you put it together and bring everyone together?
Everyone's different. So, for example, for some people it can be, you know, if they've got a family who's a, for example, children or a partner, it can be as simple as getting them together and having a family conversation or a family conference and saying, look, I really feel it's important that we put a plan in place. I want to talk about what's important to me. So, you know, so you don't have to make decisions for, you know, some of these important decisions for me, you know, in the future, or put that pressure on you, or I just want to share what's important to me. This is how I feel. So it starts off with just sharing the conversation with people in your family. So in a sense, people then have got an idea of what's important to you. And that, for some individuals, that can be enough, just sharing that information.
Yeah.
Other people may want to go further and document it. Other people may not be in a situation where they've got family, so therefore it can be a little bit more, it has to be a little bit more innovative. So they may have friends that may want to have, plan for things. So they'll be like having a conversation with someone who's got similar values, for example, and appoint them as your substitute decision maker, or just share with them your plan. Because as I said, not everyone will have family, not everyone will have children. And there will also be some people who will even struggle still. They may not have as many friends, for example, and they may be alone. And that cohort can be a bit more challenging in planning ahead. But starting off with, it can be simple as, you know, going to your GP first of all and saying, look, you know, I want to have a conversation about my health. You know, I've got this chronic illness, or I've got this life-limiting disease. How can I plan ahead? So it can be a fact-finding mission. For other people, it can be, or have a strong sense of what they do and want. Don't want, other people will need that support. So it could be like a shared decision-making, you know, supported decision-making, people around them to help them make that decision.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Is it legally binding if it has been documented, or even if it hasn't been documented?
Okay, yeah. So under the About Self Directive, the legal statutory form, and also the Enduring Power Guardianship. So once you complete both of those, had it signed, the witness, it's a legally binding, and health professionals have to follow. The only time it would be health professionals may not follow it if they felt the form was invalid for various reasons. So, for example, if people hadn't completed it properly or wasn't clear. but they can't then choose to ignore it. They'd have to go to court. This is called a state administrative tribunal, and then they would review it. But overall, for most people, advanced health records would be clearly followed by their health professional. And also, if they appoint someone to make those decisions, they have the legal power to, you know, to speak on their behalf.
Mm.
But saying that, even if you don't go down that road, under common law, we've got the legal right to make an anticipatory treatment decision. So we can say that verbally, we can write that down in a letter, a piece of paper, and health professionals are also required to follow your anticipatory treatment preferences.
Oh, that's interesting. What about an enduring power of guardianship?
So that's the document I was talking about in terms of the subject decision.
Okay.
So enduring power of guardianship enables you to appoint someone to make personal lifestyle and treatment decisions. So you empower them,
yep.
So they can consent or refuse consent to treatment. They can make personal lifestyle. For some people, this process I describe as being a little bit more fluid. So rather than someone trying to think ahead and make an anticipated decision, for some people that can be quite challenging to anticipate what may or may not happen. So by appointing someone, at least that person at the time can make a in-the-moment decision-making process by, you know, having conversation with doctors, having conversation with people that are close to them, for example, and make the right decision based on the information at hand. So in some cases, that can actually be much more fluid and responsive than, say, trying to make an anticipated decision in advance.
So if we could just touch on some of the important steps, if people listening at the moment think this is a great idea, getting all the family together is probably a little bit more difficult sometimes, but does it have to... So where they start, they sort of put out the message to their family and their loved ones that they would like to have a discussion about their future health.
Yeah, so I think the first thing is to have a conversation, and the first thing would be just to sit down with those that are close to them, but may not necessarily be family, and just share, look, these are the things that I'm worried about, concerned about, and I would actually like to put a plan in the future. So, you know, and in some ways empower myself to, at a time that I may have lost a lot of sense of control. For example, someone may have a chronic illness or a life-limiting condition and they feel like they've lost control, and actually can empower them to have a sense of control. But the first step is really just have a conversation and share what they do and don't want with those around them and close to them, and ideally including their health professional. So if you're under a GP or specialist, you really want to include them in the conversation as well.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, there's no great surprise for them, and they can actually help you as part of maybe a supportive decision-making of that process. So they're on board, and if they're on board,
yep.
You're more likely to get a positive response. So, and for some people, the conversation alone can be enough, but yet by formalising it, writing down means that it's available, everyone, you know, it's clear, and in time, conversations can get skewed and forgotten, or people become, you know, they forget things. And then that clear message can get lost, at least by writing it down.
It's a lot. And I should imagine that if you're looking at doing something like this quite early in your life, in your 40s or 50s or whatever, that perhaps you review it every now and again.
Yes, we encourage people to review it every 3 years because, you know, we change over time. So, you know, based on our experience, so our values and belief system change as we evolve ourselves. So, for example, what we may have thought was intolerable, you know, at one time, when we're actually in that situation, we may find that actually more tolerable. So, you know, line in the sand can shift, and our values shift and change as well. So it can be quite good to revisit that in the future.
Yes, yeah, a very good idea. This is a great concept, Kim. And as long as people break down the barriers with family, friends and or family members and have your wishes heard, that's really important. Where can people go to find out a little bit more about it? Because we've only just touched on it today.
Yeah. So, for example, for us here at the Department of Health, we have available, firstly, we have a free telephone advice line. So people can ring up and get information or support. And that's 9222300.
Yes.
We also have available an information pack which has advanced health directives, advanced care plans. We've got guidance booklets. And also a cute little advanced health record alert card, so people can carry it in their wallet, so it tells people who they are, who their emergency doctor is, and who's got a copy of these documents. And also, all people can email, they can just do acp@health.wa.gov.au, but sometimes for some people just ringing up could be a lot easier, and then we can send the pack out. And we also have our website, which has an e-learning resource and a variety of resources for both consumers and health professionals. I can give you the web address now, or I can always give it to you later if you wanted to.
It's okay, Kim. We've actually got it all here. If they're interested, yeah, they can ring and we can pass on all those contact numbers.
That's lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for explaining that. I think it's got everyone thinking a little bit. I really appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, it's fabulous to speak this morning. You have a lovely day.
Thank you, Kim. Kim Grieve from the Department of Health.